Two dogs passing.
Log Talk Radio.
Listen, Eden is kingdom, and Eden mindset is a kingdom mindset. Let me hear ya. Where my Eden citizens at? Where my Eden citizens at? Where you at? Let me see if you see it like this. Here we go.
When God made man, he made a spirit. It was his plan that we live blessed. The tempter came, we were distracted. The tempter came, and we fell. We were deemed to live a life that needs to go.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
It is my goal to invite you to the world. To redeem.
Where my Eden citizens at? Let me hear it.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Yeah, sing it to somebody.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Tell somebody a bit.
Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world.
Say it again, then.
Let's get back to Eden.
Okay, tell them how it is, y'all.
Our family's blessed.
Our family's blessed.
Finances blessed.
Our finances blessed.
Our mind is
blessed. Our mind is blessed.
And our bodies blessed.
And our bodies blessed.
We were tempted.
We were tempted.
And we fell.
And we fell. But guess what?
Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Now all is well.
Now all is well. So what are you waiting for?
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Tell somebody. Say.
Let's get back to Eden. Live on top of the world.
Let's get back to Eden.
What God want us, eh? He want us living on top of the world. Not at the bottom, on top. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we truly happy to have each and every one of you guys We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into this lesson. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I stay excited about the word of God because there's just so much in it, and there's so much to be excited about. Father God, we come today with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Father God, first of all, for your word, because it's in your word, Father God, we learn whose we are and who we are. And it's in your word, Father God, that we can thank you for everything. So I thank you, Father God, for my early rise and even to this present hour. I thank you, Father God, for being a shield over us. I thank you, Father God, for being that covering for us. I thank you, Father God, for being that comforter, keeper for us. I thank you, Father God, that you have declared and decreed that we are your sons and your daughters, according to Romans 8:14-15. I thank you, Father God, that we're your temple. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:19, that Father God, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that you have made this a reality in our life. I thank you, Father God, because you have made us overcomer, because 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. So we overcomer because we know you are in us, Father God. And for that reason, Father God, we're thankful. We're thankful, Father God, that you gave us this place. You made us who we are. You made us what we are. And Father God, we're grateful. We're grateful. We'll forever give you the praise and the honor. We'll forever, Father God, be thankful for how good you have been to us. Not only now, but from the early rising, you've allowed your grace to follow us. You allowed your mercy to follow us. Even time we weren't even thinking about it, Father God, you let us come. You, when we weren't even thinking about healing, Father God, you healed us. When we weren't even thinking about deliverance, Father God, you went on and delivered us. You've taken taste out of our mouth. You've taken thoughts out of our head. And Father God, for that reason, we want to say thank you. And then, Father God, I ask you to continue to cultivate, if you will, please, sir, cultivate the body of Christ. Continue to allow your word, Father God, to get in us. Cultivate us as you drop seeds in us, Father God. Let us get ready for this new revelation. Let us get ready for this transformation that's taking place right before our eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, that we know that with you all things are possible. I pray right now, Father God, for this country. I pray for those, Father God, that's on the outskirts of salvation, that send somebody their way, Father God, that in such a way until they are willing, Father God, to come, I yield, I can't hold out any longer. So I thank you for all of it. And then, Father God, open your words up right now and let those that will receive illuminated word, those that are thirsting and hungry for illuminated word, give it to them, Father God. Give it to them. I know you will. If you'll let me speak it, Father God, I'll speak it. You just tell me what to say and how to say it. I'll speak it right out of my mouth. I'll speak it till it shocks somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you for it. And praise you, honor and glory. Now, Heavenly Father, open your word up to us that we may know that it came from you. And as in any word from you, Father God, we can come to you with it. We can test and make sure, Father God, it's affirmed and confirmed through the Holy Ghost. So, Father God, we ask you right now to confirm your word. Test your word. That whoever receives your word, Father God, that they will know that it came from you. And these and all blessings, Father God, we do ask in Christ's name. And for his sakes, we pray. Everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, I'm excited about this word. I'm excited about what God is doing right now in such a time as this. There's a lot of things I wanted to share. And let me start off by saying there is a hidden witchcraft. I shouldn't probably even bring that up. But I just look at the church, man, and what people are teaching, and in that is hidden witchcraft. You don't see it because you think it's normal. You think it's okay. But there's witchcraft in some of this teaching. We should be teaching people what God say we are and not what we feel like they are, and not preach our eye test. A lot of people are preaching the eye examination. Whatever they see, then they get up and preach about it. If it's, hey, they got to keep the money rolling. You know, they know this. This person here likes to hear this. They know this person here, you know, they gay. And if I preach against that, they're not going to play in the church today. Or they're not going to be part of the congregation. So I gotta keep it, you know, balanced in such a way. That's a bunch of baloney. You teach the people what God say they are. Not what they need to be. Not what they're going to be. But what they are. If God call them saved, you call them saved. I don't care what it look like. No matter what you think about it, if God call us his children, who are you to make the distinction that they're not? Because the Bible said God called those things to be not as though they were. In Romans 4, that's what's going on. When God called us in 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10, that we are chosen, I don't care where you were chosen from. God said you're chosen. Guess what I say? I say you're chosen. If he said, when man said you're black, white, I said, no, that ain't the God race God chose. God called us a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Well, you ain't royal because you don't have this on, you don't have that on, and you do this and you do. See, that's a bunch of witchcraft, man. They're against what the Word of God is saying. When God called us a holy nation, don't mean you got to be put in some building where everybody dressed is touching the floor. God said you are a part of a divine nature. That's what you are. And I don't care. And God ain't taking it back either, Evangelist Renee. God say you are holy. God say you. Well, people say, well, I don't see it. God didn't say you had to see it. He didn't say you had to see it. That ain't what he said. He didn't say you had to see it. Now, I'm going to tell you like I told you yesterday. If you want to see something and you're not sure if it's a person of God, go read Galatians 5 and 22. See what the fruit is. If apple coming off that tree, I'm talking to you, Evangelist Sharon. If apple come off that tree, it's probably an apple tree. It ain't an orange. See, if banana coming off of there, isn't that great? So these are the fruit of the Spirit. You're trying to examine the Spirit. No, examine the fruit. And what about the tree? Because the tree can be deceiving. Check it out, the fruit out, and see what the fruit say it is, and then take it from there. You see, that's what needs to happen. So if they got the fruit of the Spirit, they got love. They got all of those things going on. You can say, okay, well, we got something to work with here. But let me tell you why it's not like that. And then I can get into the lesson, because our lesson is about, and you know what? Let me tell you this, too, because as much as I want to talk about the new creation and why the church is falling, the new creation, because there's so much teaching out there, bad teaching. And I used to be part of that. That's why I got to correct some stuff. Remember over there in the book of Acts? I think it's Acts 2:38. Let me see if I got something. Okay, there's Pastor. I'm going to ask Pastor to find Acts 2:38. Find Acts 2:38. See, what have to happen, people have to repent. They have to repent. The problem of repentance in the face of modern preaching is a serious one. This is serious stuff, but they need to repent. Look at the meaning of the word that we use by Peter. Remember on the day of Pentecost? Read that, Pastor. Acts 2:38.
Amen. Acts 2:38, and good afternoon, everyone. Acts 2:38 from the King James. Oops. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I looked back. Hold on 1 second. Pastor would have been asking where I was at here. Okay, let's get to Acts 2:38.
Well, I'm going to let you read out the Messenger Bible. The King James says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, Peter said, change your life, God, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so your sins are forgiven. Amen, amen.
So, yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. The Greek word for repentance means a change of principle. Mean a change of principles and practice. That's what repentance is. It's a change of principles and a change of practice. It's a mental change of attitude. I'm trying to help somebody here because, see, somebody don't know. You have not changed your mental attitude yet. You may have changed your altitude, but you hadn't changed your attitude. So repenting means a change of mind. A change of one mode or thinking or one conduct. Hold these definitions dearly in your mind as we study the scripture, because it's important. You got to know that there has to be a change of heart, change of mind, change of thought, change of principle, change. There has to be a change there.
Yes, yes.
And it will be necessary if you're going to understand this teaching that's going to go forth. It's the new creation. See, in John 10:10, Jesus said, I come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. That's good news, man.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear no condemnation. We want to hear what Jesus said he came for. So he came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So bless God, let's talk about that abundant life. Let's talk about the life he's talking about. That life he's talking about is a new creation. So what was this life? It was the nature of God. That's what this life was. Who was to have it? The man for whom Christ died, according to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, this is about this eternal life that we need to have before we leave up out of here. This nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At some point in time, there has to be a change.
the real condition of a natural man. But remember over there in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and can't be known through the natural, because they are spiritually discerned, unable to receive it. Stop trying to receive what I'm talking about in the natural. Because I talk to you all day long in the spirit, and you thinking in the natural, and you're going to miss it. When I tell you you have been reconciled, when I tell you that you've been forgiven, God don't see sin on you. When I tell you that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, sin and death, your carnal mind don't want to agree with that. Your carnal mind want to remind you of what you did yesterday. Matter of fact, what you did this morning. Matter of fact, what you might have did a few minutes ago.
All right.
See, the devil want to remind us the natural world is saying, and not what the spirit world is saying. So that's why it's going to be important that you understand that the natural man won't understand this. So why is it impossible for the natural man to understand the things of God? Okay, Ephesians 1 and 3 is a good place to start, and I want to suggest to you to go there. And you have he quickeneth, made alive, who were dead in trespass and in sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I want y'all to underline disobedient. It ain't that they're not saved walking in disobedience. God requires obedience, meaning that he wants us to say what he say we are, do what he say to do. But anyway, among whom also we have had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But now we will notice, if you will, more fully what's going on here. Here we find, first, the natural man is dead in his trespasses, our sin. What does it mean? Now, please, brothers and sisters, if you look at this as in the flesh, you're going to miss it. Look at it as God is telling us who we are and whose we are and what we are and what he demands of us to walk as children of light, as he demands of us as to walk in children of obedience. He calling us this.
Yeah.
So maybe John 4, 5:24, where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth at my words and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I keep telling everybody, God wants you to have your eternal life, and you got to believe what Jesus say you are.
Amen.
So what does Jesus mean by the dead? I'm glad you asked. There are two kinds of death mentioned in the word. There's a physical death and there's a spiritual death. The spiritual death is the nature of Satan, just as spiritual life is the nature of the Father. So in 1 John 3:14-15, maybe a little bit more light on it, or share a little bit more light, when he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Isn't that something? This is how you know. Because you have a love for the brethren. Well, how do you know if you have a love for the brethren? Because you call them what God call them. You don't call them sin. No, you have that same love that God has. You call things to be not as though they were. I'm going to tell y'all right now, and I'm going to speak to Louis Beasley right now. If God calls you a saint, you receive it. If God said that you are saints, according to Philippians 1:1, you said, thank you, Lord. If the Lord said you've been delivered, let me tell you, brother, sister, if you've been delivered from whatever it is, it's already sealed as far as God is concerned. Now, you may have some remnants. You may have some fragment, but it's already sealed.
Hallelujah.
You know, like anything else, you cook some, I don't care, cook some beans. You take them out the pot, there's going to be some stuff left on the side of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that's what's going on with us. God called us this stuff. He called us redeemed from the curse.
Thank you, Lord.
I keep telling people, because God called you there, it becomes yours when you agree with the word of God. That's what repentance is. You know what, Lord? I'm agree with your word now. I didn't know you called me holy, but I know it now. And since you called me that, that's what I'm going to call myself. See, Jesus gave this illustration to Nicodemus over there in John 3. He said, except one be born anew or born again. I like to say again. Again, last time I checked, that's when you do it over again. Is that right, Pastor? That's when you do it over. That's what again
right,
means. Somebody
that's
help me.
That's what it means.
Again means when you're doing it over, right? So
that's right.
You got to have that birth, that new birth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You got to be born, not of the flesh. Nicodemus said, wait a minute, I got better sense of this. I can't. You mean I'm going to go back up in my mama's womb? What? Come on, Jesus. Jesus, even if it was possible, son, you wouldn't make it. And that would be being born again, no way. See, that's why when we come out of that, we got to grow. Because if you stayed that size, your possibility, you could go back. But he fixed it, so you can't go back up in there now.
Amen.
Woo! I know that's just probably working somebody's ears off right about now. Listen how that man talk. I'm just trying to keep it real with you. Oh, Nicodemus, he's trying to figure it out. How I'm going to get born again? Should I go back up to my mother's womb? You know that sound crazy, but there's a lot of logic there when you don't know. He didn't know. And a lot of people today don't know how you get born again. Well, that's why I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm your man. That's what God
put me.
You need to know.
Please,
and you need to be based on scripture. Now, let me tell y'all why I like this. First of all, maybe I'll tell you the scripture. And then once I tell you the scripture, then you'll understand what born again means. Well, first of all, you got to be born of the word of God. That's what 1 John 5:18. You got to be born of God. Well, how do you be born of God? How do you be born of God? Think about that. How do you be born of God? How that happens? What makes that take place? What that look like? Being born of God. I just love that, man. Well, here it is. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out the bag. Being born of God means this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything that was born. Okay. So, the Word of God is God. That's who He is. He is His Word. So, if you're going to be born by God, you got to be born by the Word of God. Well, then now, 1 Peter 1:23 make a lot of sense. Didn't make a lot of sense now when he said, I'm born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. God is his word. I got that seed got put up in me because the word of God is a seed. Do I need to show you that? I got paper now. I'm just trying to, you know, go through it. But I want you to see this. The word of God is God. God is, so you got to let that word get in you because that's the seed, not the money. The money ain't the seed. The word is the seed. Mark 4. So that word get in you. And just like the natural, it get in there and it mix. Boom. You impregnate it. Well, now, you know, that first, especially that first 6 weeks, but the devil coming for you. He coming. He do not want that word to catch seed. And I'm going to tell you, some of y'all blessed right now because y'all hung in there. When time was rough, when you know what the devil beating up on you, told you you ought to just stop, leave that church stuff alone. See, some of y'all went past all of that. Some of you went through flying colors. And then others of you guys, y'all sat and pondered on it, thought about it. And then the spirit told you, don't believe that fool. You know there's a God. Because you know how you got where you at. You know there's a God. So you didn't listen to that other spirit. You listened to the spirit of God. And you know what you did? At your ass. I'll tell you what you did. You went through all of the criticism, all of the yappy, yappy, yap, all the chatter. You went through all of that. That man there, he ain't nothing but a phony. He did this and he did. See, the devil took you right to the flesh. I messed up some of y'all homes. I mean, you get on the word at nobody, you don't know what you're going to hear. And if some of your friends get on there and hear it, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to immediately be critical. Because that's what their job is, steal, kill, and destroy. Instead of giving it a chance for that seed to work, that God's in stone, the Bible said this. Now, I'm going to give you a tip, too. When you receive a word, the Bible says the devil comes immediately. Now, maybe I would ask Evangelist Renee. I mean, I don't know when immediately is. Because immediately means already happened and gone. Immediately. See, immediately to me is sooner than soon. You know, you said somebody, okay, I soon come. But immediately means they already been there.
That's
while
right.
You're trying to figure it out, it already happened.
Yeah.
So Satan comes immediately. He don't care nothing about your money. If that's going to get that word out of you, he'll use your money at his disposal. If that getting you mad because of your car or whatever he done attack and you care more about that, oh yeah, buddy. He'll use that. He'll use all of these things at his disposal. But here it is. Here it is. Satan would love no more than to have killed you back then. You ought to be praising God that he missed it. He had his chance. But now you done got so far in this word now, and you so confident in it. So when you tell somebody by his stripes you heal, when you tell somebody, I know this is the word of God, Satan already lost. He lost. He know he done lost you. He going on to somebody else. He put his troops off of you. He going a whole nother direction.
Now, with
all that being said, and I'll show you this stuff, man. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me to show it to you in the scripture. But let me get back where I was. See, I get caught up sometime. Nicodemus, Jesus said, now except one be born anew, he cannot see. And seeing is understanding. You won't see God's kingdom. You won't see God's government. That's why he went on and said the next part. He said, look at that nigga name. That which is born of flesh is flesh, bro. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So don't marvel, not I say unto you, ye must be born again, over there in verse 6 and 7, the third chapter. Now, if we, haven't really grasped this yet, keep on understanding Paul in Revelation. Because Paul's revelation, we don't understand it all. For we having nothing in Jesus' teaching that explains the natural birth. It's only when we get around what Peter said. But now Paul did say this over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He has accepted Christ. He has confessed him and has made him Lord, master, ruler of his life. He is a new creature. The old nature, the old way of doing things is passed away. That's that sin nature. The desire to want to do that is gone. My desires have changed now. I want to do God's will. That's all I want to do is will. So you mean you have passed. See, you passed out of Satan's domain. You passed out of his jurisdiction. You passed out of his control. Because he can't do nothing with you now. Because he can't convince you anymore that there's no God. Yeah. He can't convince you anymore that you're not healed. See, when Satan, after he realized he can't convince you anymore, he go boogity, boogity, boogity. He gone. He's a goner. Yeah. Somebody said, my Redeemer live. I know my Redeemer live.
Yeah.
See? So Satan passed away. His works, the way he does things he suggests, it passed away. Then, he said, all things become new. Not something, but all things. But all things now is of God. See, that's the difference. All things is of God. Not no building.
Mm-hmm.
Not no organization.
All right.
And people, they want to try to make it. They want to go and try to make it work in their little box. It ain't going to fit. All this stuff is of God. So going to a building, that ain't of God. No, we're talking spiritual here. Things like God's righteousness, God's love, God's stuff. You know what? I think I'm going to have to just do a teaching on God's stuff. That's what I probably need to do. Because so many of us have missed what God's stuff really is. Because that's what you want to have. You want to make sure you got God's stuff. You know, that's you walk around here, you don't want to have nothing counterfeit. You want God's stuff. So remember what he said over there, but you're led of the Spirit. You are not under the law. Yeah, you're not under no law. You're not under nobody controlling you. Where'd that come from? Well, you got to come to church. You got to do this. See, those are laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when we take that, we're talking about, well, you ain't going to do this. You ain't going to do that. And you ain't. See, that's how he may have brought that to us. Is that you ain't gonna whoremonger, you ain't gonna backbite, you ain't gonna lie, you ain't gonna cheat, you ain't see he. That's where he bring all of that to us. You're not gonna be gay. He bring all that stuff to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's if we're led by the Spirit. The Bible says, "You want to know what the works of the flesh? Read Galatians 5:19. It'll tell you what the work of the flesh and how it's manifest." How you can see it over there in 19 and 20. But if you'll keep reading, but probably in 21 too, but if you'll keep reading and get down there to verse 22 is what I want you to see. That's what God expects out of us. He expects 22, 23. That's what he expects 24, 25. He expect that's what we're to do, man. He expecting us. He don't want you envy. He don't want you to be in a drunker. And they say you can't have a little glass of wine. I said, there can't be no drunker.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do those things. Because if you do those things, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. So the fruits of the Spirit, first of all, he said it's love. Now, I want to take that to a whole nother level. When he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, he's talking about God. Because God is love. Not he practiced love. God don't practice love. God don't teach love. God is love.
Hallelujah.
That's another subject for another day. Take your whole, take a set, or maybe a whole week or longer than that to just teach about the Spirit. The first thing he says that the fruit is love. That's God. Then he says joy. Then he said peace. Then he said long suffering. Then he says goodness. Then he said gentleness, or gentleness and goodness. Then he says faith. All of this stuff is what the Bible called God stuff. Meekness, that's God. Temperance, that's God. And I don't care what your law is. Against such, there is no law.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with God stuff, there is no law.
Yeah.
And that Christ have crucified the flesh and the affection and the lust. That's what happens. It dies out. That's only now if you walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So he said, let us all walk in the Spirit. That's what God wants. That's what God expects.
Yeah.
Now, and not be desires of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Don't let that be a name among you once. That ain't who you are. That's not who you is. Okay? Well, you got to have fellowship with God, brothers and sisters. God want to have fellowship so he can make this relationship work. But you walking in darkness, he ain't got nothing but for you. He wants you to walk in the light as he's in the light. See? Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Anybody have any comments, press one. And we'll let you in. Hallelujah. Anyone, press one. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. So, Pastor, I'd like to read that from the New Living Translation, Galatians 5. And let's see. I think you was, you started with, I'm going to start with the 16th verse, but I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And so it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, self-ambition, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Amen, amen. So to me, that just sums it up. It just brings out everything that you have been saying. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Any comments on that, Pastor? Anything that jumps out you beyond all that other stuff? Anything else jumps out at you?
Telling us that the Holy Spirit is the one that produces that fruit in us, that love and joy and peace, the fruits of the Spirit. And so we, as followers of Christ, that's what we have to have in us. That's what we have to ask. If we don't have it, we need to ask God to give that to us. And it's just so important that, you know, that we have to break away from that old way. And this right here is showing us how that we can be filled, you know, with the fruit of the Spirit. And it'd be a change in our lives instead of us being taught that the old way. We're in the new now. So now that we're in the new, let us walk accordingly as being new creatures in Christ. As the scripture says, old things are passed away. And it says things are become new. So we're new in Christ. So let us fill ourselves. You know, it's just like if you buy new clothes. That's what you want to put. You're going to get rid of the old clothes and you're going to put on the new. You're going to wear the new. So let us have the mind of Christ and learn what he is saying us. Just like Nicodemus, you know, he was concerned. He was curious. He wanted to know how was he going to be born again. And Jesus let him know how to be born again. And it sure ain't by flesh and blood, but it's by the Spirit. So let us, if we don't have it, let us ask God to fill us with his Spirit so that we can be on this one accord. And then it'll help understand, we'll be able to understand the teaching that Pastor is teaching us. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. A word of enlightenment. Anybody else? Press one. And while they deciding if they want to press one or whatever, I'm going to say this because there's so much hidden work of witchcraft. I mean, man, you got to. I just pray that God show you what he showed me. How the hidden work of witchcraft.
Yeah.
That's going on in the organized church. It's happening. And people, they don't want to see it. Because they don't want to teach you what the word say you are. They want to teach you what the eye see. They want to teach you what they feel or what somebody heard, what somebody said, what's going on in the modern day world. Never telling you that that God expects you to be the very righteousness, and how to do it is that you get in the word of God. How to call your own self. If God says you holy, then he expects for you to say you holy. That's how you do. See, you start building up faith. Because a lot of us are born babes. We're babes in Christ. We're born, we're babes in the Spirit. So at some point in time, you got to start eating the right stuff if you're going to grow. If you're going to grow, it's going to be necessary that you eat the right stuff. I have the right kind of confession. So I confess what the word of God say, by his stripes you are healed. And so when somebody say, well, are you healed? Say, yep, by his stripes I'm healed. Well, it don't look like, he ain't said it don't look like. He said, yeah, let the sick say they will. Hey, I'm sick. I'm saying I'm well, okay?
Amen.
See, the enemy want to trap you in that old witchcraft stuff where you can't tell people, you know, you heal and they don't see. In other words, and you ain't. You can't tell people you blessed and you still riding in a old raggedy car. See, that's the way the church hide that witchcraft. Yeah, you can say it. You ain't got to show it. You can call those things to be not as though they were.
Hallelujah.
And it's in the spirit anyway. That's where you create everything in the spirit. It just hadn't came to fruition. But that ain't nothing. In their mind, it happened. But in your mind, it is. And you thanking God.
Amen.
You thanking God for it. You didn't ask him for rain? Lord, thank you. I'm going to buy me an umbrella. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. This is where it don't look like it's going to rain. Because I asked God for it, and he's going to get it to me. See, that's that old witchcraft. That old stuff hidden in witchcraft, man, I'm going to tell you. That old fleshly stuff. Demons, and demons that hide in these churches. They are.
Yeah,
I call it, there's some secret prophecy going out. Come here, the Lord telling me to give you a private prophecy. Ain't no privateness in the word of God. What you have to do is try the spirit by the spirit and see if it be of God. Test the spirit. Try the spirit.
Yeah.
Believe the spirit. See if it's of God. And as in any prophetic word or anything else, you want to always be able to confirm and affirm the word of God. You want to always do that.
Yeah.
Just because they got a robe on and they named Bishop Tutu or Bishop Juju or Mother this, I don't mean Jack to me. Because I just see bones. I see flesh.
Yeah,
I want to know what's going on the inside of that corpse. Is it dead or not? Because if it's a dead, then there's a spirit that's alive in Christ inside there. That's what I need to know what's going on. Because I want to know if I can believe it. I want to know if I can trust you.
Yeah.
I want to know if you're just telling me this stuff for filthy lucre.
Hallelujah.
You know, I want my right arm back, and you telling me God is going to let it grow back. Now give me $50.
Have mercy.
Y'all be surprised what goes on in some of these organized churches. Yes, sir. I've seen them, man. I've seen them find out the people information, and then they slip it to the preacher right before he get up ready to preach. They're talking about 3-4 songs, and then they got your information. But like the internet, get your information. I dare you do a search. Do a search for insurance. Every insurance company out there gonna be calling you. They're gonna start with Traveler, State Farm. I mean, they just like, okay, how you get my information? That's how they do. See, that's how the church. They find out something about you, then they. The preacher be prophet lying over you. And you ain't even checked with the spirit to confirm and affirm that that came from God.
All right.
They got power, man. Yeah. And if it was possible, he would fool the very elect. He'll try to fool you because you're God's chosen one. You're God elect. Yeah. He'll try you.
Mm-hmm.
But enough already. That's why it's so important that we understand things we have to start confessing. I may have to jump on a little bit of that. Things we dare to confess. What we dare to confess about ourselves. There's things you got to start confessing about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to confess, I am a son of God.
Oh,
that don't have nothing to do with the flesh. That had to do with the spirit. See?
Yeah, say it.
Yeah, I remember. And I wouldn't. There were certain things I wouldn't say. Man, I ain't know anywhere like get up in the Baptist church and tell them people I'm the very righteousness of God. Woo! That goes against everything they just taught in Sunday school. I dare you to get up there and tell them, say, hey, y'all looking at Christ, man. Y'all looking at Christ's spirit in me. Mm-hmm. They say, set your butt down, Frank. Sit down, Joe. Mm-hmm. You out of order. Now I need to tell the people who I am. They don't care who you are. We got a pastor, he'll tell us. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff, man. It's a lot of witchcraft goes on. Stuff you don't even think about. So, there's hidden works of the witchcraft. Stuff hidden, man. Satan doing, saying. Stay away from that crazy stuff.
Amen.
Anyway, anybody else? Okay, if not, we'll see y'all.